As we continue our journeys back and forth to the cross on a daily basis and multiple trips a lot of times during the day, when I'm talking about that journey, I'm talking about realizing the situation that you're in at that moment and then remembering in your heart that you have a Savior that has told you all you need to do is bring it to me and I'll take care of it. Now, some of us are a little slow on the uptake when it comes to that. The older we get, the more that we think that we can handle everything ourselves. But the wiser we become, we understand that we can't handle the smallest things by ourselves. It's a fact. I need to be back at the foot of the cross. I need to go back and forth. God has told us to come. He would give us life, and He will allow us to live life. Well, life has a lot of problems in it. There's a lot of hurt and pain out here in life, doing life. God knows that. But God said, keep coming to me. I know you're going to step out there, and I know that somewhere along the line you're going to get hurt, and every day of your life you will see pain. But then the scripture sort of cheers us up. Don't worry, you're only allotted 70-some years, and you'll be home with me. Now, we will spend a lifetime trying to figure out how that's making us feel better. But the closer you walk and the more you go back to the cross, the more you will understand how much your Savior loves you. Loves you. Now, listen to me. I'm talking about He loves you individually. He loves His family. You are a part of His family, and you are an individual active part and the most important part. You hear me? Because you were given the free will ability to choose whether to follow Jesus or not. No other of His creation was given that free will. None. Only the human being, given the freedom of choice. I give you this freedom. This is a blessing for us. Some keep saying, and I've heard this so often lately, it really bothers me. Why does God allow Satan to keep leading people into sin? Well, why don't you say, why does God allow the Holy Spirit to keep leading us out of it? Don't you understand? God said, I give you the freedom of choice. Now, somewhere or in history and throughout history, you'll see dictators that attempt to take that choice away from you. That freedom of choice is a direct gift from God that no one has a right to take away. But you, as an individual, need to understand something. You're responsible. Don't blame anybody else. You're responsible. And God said, this is what I want you to understand. That as you go through life, you are going to express what is in your heart. Now, let me explain something to you. Inside of each one of us, a battle continues to rage. You have the carnal mind, the human mind, the brain, that sits up here right on inside this skull. And that brain is carnal. I mean, it thinks of all kind of evil things that you can imagine. But the real you, the Bible will refer to as your heart. The real you, it's on the inside. Listen to Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. I'm glad my brain doesn't reflect me. Because it's the heart that God is interested in. That's the real you down there on the inside. That's the real you. That's the spirit. That's the spiritual heart. That's who you are. And God says, I am looking at your heart. God realizes what that brain can get us into. Gets us into a lot of trouble, doesn't it? The mind that you set up here, this mind, human mind, that mind is evil. And God says he looks at a man and he sees that man is evil continually. We battle it on a daily basis. Well, what do I do about it? I go back to the cross. No matter where I am, I pray, Lord, forgive me. And a lot of times I know that I've done something wrong. I just don't know what it is. But I'm not ashamed to ask for forgiveness. Because you see, I realize something. Life can get a hold on you. And you can get caught up into the excitement of living and forget about eternity. Forget about eternal living. We focus on the living here on earth and having fun. Now, the Bible uses a heart as a metaphor for the real you. All through Scripture, you will see the heart, the heart. It's a metaphor used for who you really are. Don't you remember King David? Let me use him again as an example. And his mind was carnal. Gosh, he was guilty of murder. He was guilty of rape. He was guilty, but now he was the king, so that was okay in that day. It wasn't okay with God. But do you know what God said about him? God said that David is a man after my own heart. It was the heart that he looked at. Oh, David paid dearly for all the vicious things and what the thinking of the mind got him into. That he did. But he was God's man, chosen by God, changed by God, cleaned up by God. And don't ever forget that. That's how God does it. When he's talking about the heart being your desires, your hopes, your longings, your dreams, your ambitions, the affections that you have come from the heart deep within. That's the real you. That's the heartbeat of who you are. Not this physical pump that keeps the blood going through us, but that spiritual heart of Christ on the inside of you. You're going to battle a lot of problems in this life, and you need to realize you're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. But it's the heart's desire not to do that that brings down the favors of God. God knows how deceiving Satan is. Knows that Satan will trick your mind. Satan will hold up all the shiny objects to make you look at them. Satan will do all of those things to you. But God says, I'm looking to your heart. Where's your heart? Oh, Satan's going to pay dearly for that. And he knows it. He's already lost. And he cannot touch me or you physically. He's not in control of whether I live or die. I'm fighting, you know, all of the cancers and all of this stuff, as you all know. On the 15th of November, I'll find out whether they've flared back up or not. But I beat them five times. I got news for you. Cancer's got a problem when it messes with a child of God. Amen. But just so, okay. So God says, Larry, I want you to come home. I want you to understand something. I have cancer, but cancer does not have me. Amen. You and I must understand that we live life realizing that each day is precious. You see, I don't have to die of cancer. I can get killed in a vehicle. With all the criminal element I dealt with in my past over all those years, one of them can end up shooting me. But I'll tell you this, nobody's going to do anything unless God gives the okay. And his name will be glorified no matter what. You need to remember that in your life as an individual. Don't get angry with God. God's the only hope that you have. Through the blood of his son, I promise you, you have the hope of life. You have the hope of the world. I can never die. I'll pass from this body in the presence of my Lord. Now you tell me what's so bad about that. It's life. It's love. It's the heart of God in the real you heart, in who you are on the inside. He says, I see that heart. Your heart is what makes you you. Proverbs 27:19. It is your own self that you see in your heart. It's you. Where's your heart? Does Jesus have it? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Salvation is of the Lord, not of you. Good works are great. You do all the good works that you possibly can, but there's not a good work out there that can save you. Only when you come under conviction by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts you that you are a sinner, you are lost, and you say, Lord, forgive me, that's salvation. You got me? You don't have to jump a pew. You don't have to crawl on your belly. You don't have to say certain words. All you need to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Don't you understand that God sees your heart? It's not in your wording. It's in his saving. It's not in you trying to convict other people that they're doing something wrong. Would you get out of that? You allow the Holy Spirit to do the conviction, and you stand back and you offer the love. You offer the forgiveness, just as you are forgiven by your Lord and Savior Jesus. He sees your heart. Do you have a heart for the Lord or a heart for the world? What's the controlling mechanism within your life? Is your great mind as a great thinker controlling your spiritual heart? Or is your spiritual being, your spiritual heart, controlling that mind? That's the war that you're fighting on the inside. The mind warring against the spirit. And every one of us know that. We know the battles that we have to fight on a daily basis. But you can't fight it by yourself and expect to win. Lord, I can't do this. Good, Larry. Let's get it done right. Don't we understand that kind of love? It is my heart's desire to get it right. And evidently, it's the human mind that fights against it continually. And that battle rages within you. And the Lord says, come back home. Come home to me. He waits for the prodigal son at you and me, male and female. He waits for us to come back home. Come to the foot of the cross. You see, that's recognizing who's in charge of your life. Let me tell you something, folks. At your weakest moment, you know when that was for a bunch of us? That's when we would see the tracer rounds coming in on us. That's when you get blown half to pieces. That's when you realize there's an enemy out there that can hurt you. But there's a God that's delivered us thus far. A bunch of us are here today. Many more are listening and watching. Don't you see? God says, I got this, and I have you. Now that's what the spiritual heart can do for your life. That guarantees your protection. Well, Larry, I know a lot of good people that ended up dying on the battlefield. A lot of good police officers. Don't you think that Jason's mom and I didn't worry every time that we would hear that Velcro going on and the vest going on and coming in when he was at home? And now, and his wife has heard it, and I guarantee you it is a horrible feeling knowing how it is out in this world today every time they walk out the door and get in a cruiser, wanting to protect. Does it still frighten me? You better believe it. But that dude got some power of prayer going out for him every day of his life. That's what you and I do for our loved ones, for those we know that are standing up for freedom and standing up for our personal safety on a daily basis. Don't you understand? Mom and Dad is standing up for you, young person. Don't you understand that it's Mom and Dad that are in charge of the family, not a government? Don't you understand that by the power of Christ given to the family unit, that you had the power of Almighty God the Father that will deliver you? So you stand up. Don't be afraid. They can't kill you. Only if God gives them permission. And as far as I've read, he hasn't given them permission to do that. When you stand for him, he'll stand for you. Oh, Stephen. Oh, God, it's just part of what I believe and what I know about Scripture. Stephen, he was a leader in the first century church, a mighty man of God. And Stephen was found guilty of proclaiming the word of Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees said, "Stephen, no longer are you to mention the name of Jesus." And what did Stephen do? I could just picture him as a cocky Marine. I couldn't help that. Yeah, I could just picture him saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," you know, as soon as they'd tell him not to. But they had him ready to stone him. Stephen standing there. He's standing up for Jesus. And they start to throw the stones, and they're stoning Stephen to stone him to death. And as Stephen goes down to his knees as the stones are hitting him, Stephen looks up and he proclaims, "I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father." Stephen stood up for Jesus. Jesus stood up for Stephen. That's what he does. He's the head of my family. It doesn't matter what enemy comes. Doesn't matter how many stones are thrown. It matters about where your heart is. And I gave my heart to Jesus. That's exactly where it is. So my enemies, live with it. Because I get to live forever with it. That's a touch of the Master's hand. That's the power of God's love. That's the power of what my Father does in heaven. Jesus, one of your children is standing up down there. Do you not think Jesus stands up from the throne and takes a look? Oh, I just picture that. Will you make Jesus proud from your heart? Your mind's messed up, folks. And you're going to battle this all the days of your life. But Jesus isn't. First of all, have you ever wondered why you say the things you do? It's according to what this thing up here, this brain, this mind does to your heart. That's where you do the things that you do. Matthew 12, verse 24. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Oh, my goodness. The only thing that can fill your heart with bad stuff, the spiritual heart of yours, is this mind up here. That mind being more full of evil than you've allowed the heart that Christ has given you, that spiritual heart, to be filled with good. So therefore, you will speak the foolish things. And then all of a sudden, you're under conviction. I wished I hadn't said that. I'd give anything if I could take that back. But then you can't take it back. You wished you hadn't said it, but there's nothing you can do about it. Yes, there is. Repent right then. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I said that. Father, help me. Clean my heart. Clean my heart. When you ask Jesus to clean your heart, you're going to be spick and span. You got me? Clean, clear through. Next, why you feel the way you do? Now, how do you feel? Are you feeling miserable? This is why you feel the way you do. Hebrews 4, verse 12. God's word examines the thoughts and motives of the heart. That's why you feel the way you do. Well, I feel bad. A Christian will come up and he'll say, Pastor, look, I really feel miserable. I feel awful. And this is what I did. And I said, good. I wish you'd feel a little worse than that. You see, you know what that proves? That proves they're Christian. Only a Christian feels bad about it. A lost person doesn't feel bad about it. But a Christian will. So good. I'm glad that sin still bothers you. But I got news for you. The same Savior that has guaranteed you heaven is the same Savior that guaranteed you he will never leave you nor forsake you. And whatever the problem is, that he will come in and clean you. Give it to him. Give your heart to Christ. Allow him to direct every step that you take. Isn't that important? It's the steps. How many steps did you take today? Your pastor will say, how many did you take for the Lord? How many steps did you take moving closer to the Lord compared to how many steps you took moving away from him? And you know what? The Lord doesn't move. You remember where you found peace at the cross? You still find it there. Oh, life's hard. I think I've said that. I think I've said that ever since I've been preaching. Life is hard. But you've been given the free will to live it. Live it to its fullest. But when you overflow, make sure that you're overflowing with the glory of God. With love, with forgiveness, with peace. Why do you act the way you act? I got news for you. That's all I heard growing up from this high on. Larry Pete, why you act that way? Well, how did I know why I'd act that? I thought it was inherited. And the more I learned about my relatives, I know today it was. It really was. So therefore, that dealt with the carnal mind, the human existence. And God says, I want you to pay attention how you act. Guard your heart. This is Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the actions of life. Oh, you know, if you're having heart problems spiritually, your actions are going to falter. Is in from the good part. You know, I want to do good. Well, I remember a man, Brother Randy, by the name of the Apostle Paul. And Paul said the very thing. Paul said, oh, what a wretched man am I. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the very things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Of all sinners, I am the chief. Huh. And I thought about that over the years. 16 books of the New Testament are penned by Paul. And he said he was the chief of sinners. Does that not tell you something? The battle is on the inside of you. The battle for your mind. The world wants your mind. They want to trick your children. The world wants to reach in and call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. Do you not see it in our own generation? Do we not understand, Christian, that it's time that you stand up and be counted? Do we not understand that we can just stop sitting back and saying nothing for fear of what's going to happen to us? Fear is a monster that Christians ought to know they can conquer. You know what I'm told to do? When you go into combat, you're told to, you go to a certain place, get ready for the battle. But in the combat of life, what you're now going to, Jesus says, I want you to show up. That's a problem. Christians aren't showing up.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You show up. And he said, stand there and watch me. I love that. Stand and watch. Read the scriptures. Understand something. Of all the armies of God, look at the victories. God fought for them. That's the victory in your life. You let the Lord clean you up. And listen to me, fellow Christians, quit trying to clean everybody else's act up. Yours ain't so hot. So what you do is this. You present the gospel. Allow them to follow the word of Jesus Christ. And allow him to do the cleaning. He's in the cleaning business. One of these days, you know, when the angels present me to the Lord, you know, I leave this body, I'll be out of this body before the body hits the ground. But when the Lord receives me, I'm going to be so shined up to be in the presence of God. Shined up by the hand of Christ. Salvation's power, and allow that power of salvation to be an everyday walk in your life. That's what children look at, parents. Pay attention to them. Why you work the way you work. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your what? Heart. Work at it with your heart as working for the Lord. Let the Spirit of Christ give you that strength, that courage, that walk. Walk with the Lord. Ecclesiastes 2:10, my heart took delight in all my work. Have you ever noticed? A lot of times my mind won't take delight in my work. Messed up. Whatever you're supposed to do, it didn't turn out right. You wish you'd done a better job. But my heart took delight in all my work. Meaning, Jesus touched my heart. Whether my work was bad or good, Jesus did the cleaning when I confessed to him. And therefore, I was brought back at peace. God delighted in me, my heart. Who I am, just like he did in King David. It was his heart he was looking at. His heart was after God's own heart. Why you have the peace that you do. Here's the peace. It's the key. Psalm 37 verses 4 and 5. This is David. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord, trust in him, and he will help you. I give the Lord a mess. It's me. I give the Lord a mess. And he takes that mess, and he remolds me. He presents me to God the Father as a brother. Are you catching this symbolism? He took this mess and he shined it up real pretty for Jesus. Do you know something? When you're presented to God the Father, you will look just like Jesus. You'll have the same shine. Yes, you will recognize each other in heaven. Yes, we will know as we are known. Guaranteed by God's word. But you're going to have a glow about you. Boy, you got to be in heaven because the world couldn't handle it. That's how great you're going to glow. That's God's word. And it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for the peace that only you can give us. We ask now, Father, that those who have heard your word and have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior will do that right where they are, Father. Touch their heart that they might cry out, "Hear my Lord, save me." I ask your peace be upon them, Father. Let your will be within them. Touch their heart, Father, and I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.